Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Praise God. It is so wonderful to be in church with you here today. And over this Christmas season, we have, yes, Sunday services, but also we have services in January. And if you're here and you're going away, can I encourage you? Come to church if you're around on Sundays, but if you're not, stream online at 10 a.m. If you're away, make the time. It is just a joy for us to worship together here and for everyone who's joining us. Maybe they're away already to join us for church, for join us for worship and join us for the Word of God. Continue to do that. Get in that habit as well. You know, we as Christians, we are not here simply during Christmas to endure Christmas. And I spoke about this a little bit last week, but sometimes I feel like we're in this season and it's so busy that I'm just going to move this back to over here, that we simply endure Christmas instead of enjoy Christmas. And maybe that's where you sit at the moment. It's so busy and there's so much on, or there's something going on in your life and you have to endure what we're going through in Christmas. But we can enjoy it as Christians. And the key to enjoying Christmas is this word, revelation. It's having revelation afresh and again of just this season and what it means for us. And I hope that you get that as we go through this song that we're going to look at today. Let's, as we do this, pause. Just take a moment right now. And if you would like to close your eyes with me, we're just going to pray. We're going to prepare our hearts. And the Christmas season can sometimes be so hectic and so busy. And we come to church and we come and then we go and then we move on to the next thing and the next thing. Let's take a moment right now and prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season that we're in. But Father, it is not about the season. It is about your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus, as we come around the truth of your word today, I pray that you would lead us to a response that is not just the tick of a box during Christmas. It's not just another thing on our list of things to do, but our response, which is to again give our hearts and our whole lives over to you. Because just as we have sung this morning, you are worthy of it all. We thank you that, as we've already heard, that your saving grace is enough for us. That we now have life because, Jesus, you gave yours for us. And so even in this moment right now, Lord God, we want to honor you by being attentive to your voice, by being willing to apply what we hear and what we learn today, that our lives might better reflect your glory to others around us. Have your way in us, Lord God. Have your way through us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. And the church said, amen. 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 All right, today we are in part two of a series that we started last week called Christmas Worship, a deeper look at the songs of Christmas. And if you notice, open up your notice sheet today, you will find the song that we're going to look at today. The song is O Holy Night, many people's favorite Christmas song. And to be honest, it's been a joy for me to look at this song this week and study it and listen to it so many times because O Holy Night is a beautiful worship song. And I hope that that's the way you see it today. So, we were looking at these carols, these Christmas songs, because we sing them over and over again at Christmas time. And so we want to understand the depth of these lyrics so that when we get to them year on year, we have revelation again and again as we sing these songs. O Holy Night, the background of this, it was written originally as a poem, as many of them were, by a French writer, Placide Capu. I don't know French, sorry. C-A-P-P-E-A-U. Who's French? How would you pronounce that? Exactly. In 1847, that same year, he contacted a gentleman named Adolf Adam, who put the song to music. And it was originally performed in France for the first time, and it was titled Cantique de Noël, which in English, roughly translated, means Hymn of Christmas. Cantique de Noël, hymn of Christmas. As many of these Christmas songs were written, they were written as hymns. They were written as worship songs, and it's only today that we see them as Christmas carols or songs that we sing at Christmas. And then it was translated into English in about 1855. What I've loved to acknowledge as I've looked at these songs is the length of time that we've been singing them for. Last week, Joy to the World has been sung for over 300 years. This song, for 170-odd years, we have been singing this. And I just have the image in my mind of the millions and millions of people who have worshipped to this song over those hundreds of years. What a joy it is. And when I consider God, who God is above time, right? He is above it all. And he would see that as just one choir of people lifting up his holy name. We join that choir when we sing these songs of worship to him each Sunday through Christmas and throughout the rest of the year. I know it would bless the heart of God to him for him to see that. Paul says in Colossians 3:16, he encourages us with this, and he said, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives." See that right there? Teach and counsel each other. And that's a responsibility that each one of us as followers of Christ hold. It is not just the pastor, it is not just the life group leader, it is not just another person here in church, but it is each one of us that actually hold that responsibility to teach and to counsel each other, not with our own thoughts and opinions, but with what? What does it say? With the wisdom that he gives. And then it says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. That is what we're doing as we sing these songs. O Holy Night is a wonderful Christ-exalting song that we can sing every Christmas. It has rich imagery as part of it, which we'll see. And to be honest, if you're musical at all, when you sing or when you hear O Holy Night, you appreciate it for the writing of the song, the melody, the way that the chords have been put to melody in this song. It is actually a really, really beautiful song. But I want you to hear this correctly today. Though the song, many of us can appreciate, and though the song is beautiful itself, it is not the song that we long to exalt. It's the Jesus that the song talks about who we lift on high. He is the one who we exalt through these songs of Christmas. So let's crack it open. Let's have a look at these lyrics and see what it's all about. So verse 1, I've got it on the screen, but you've got it in your hand if you want to refer to the whole song as we go as well. And I've given a little, we're going to work at two lines at a time, and I've given a little subtitle above each of these two lines that we're doing as well. So the first one is this, is Jesus makes the night holy. The first words are, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior, the dear Savior's birth. All right, holy night. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? Does anyone want to answer that? What does it mean to be holy? Set apart. Yep, set apart. To be dedicated, to be made sacred for God's use. That's what it is to be holy, for God, to be dedicated and set apart for God. And as I think about this opening line to this song, I get the picture of God, you know, at the beginning of time and looking across like the calendar of the years, and then with the red pen just circling that one night. This is the day. This is the night that my son is going to come and he is going to come to earth. This one night set apart from the beginning of time. This one holy night, holy not because God circled the date and said, this is the holy night, so therefore Jesus is going to come on that night, but holy because it's the night that Jesus came on. Jesus is the one who makes that night holy, is what we sing about. And so as we sing, O Holy Night, we don't exalt the night, we exalt Jesus because he's the one who makes the night holy. God's own son, born in human flesh, the savior of mankind. And I love that last little line there where it says, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. And I sometimes sing that, our dear Savior's birth. But then I take that a step further as well. Because we can sing broadly, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And I love that terminology. Like it's really, it's precious. When you talk about my dear so-and-so, my dear husband, my dear wife, my dear relative, there's an endearing factor to the way that we say that. And when we say our dear Savior's birth, I make that a little bit more personal myself. And I think it's my dear Savior's birth. for you as well. Jesus came, yes, to save the world, but to save you, my dear Savior's birth. The next words, the next lyrics say this, and I've titled it Stuck in Sin. It says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The world since the beginning, since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, we've been struck with that curse of sin and of error. Disobedience to God, and as Matt said this morning, well done, Maddie, in communion. That was really, really great. Great job, buddy. Well done. Fallen short of his glory, every single man. And the writer uses a word that we don't use often. Funnily enough, I heard someone say it. Chris Blacker said it this week, the word pining. We don't use it. It's more old English, Chris. But you used it well, though. You did very well with that. You used it really well. Pining. What is pining? The definition in the dictionary says, pining is when someone suffers a mental or physical decline. Which one, Chris? Mental or physical? Both at the same time, he says. Mental or physical decline, but especially from a broken heart. And this lyric captures our condition, the human condition, well. In that as we live under the curse of sin, we are pining, we are wasting away. Our soul is in anguish. And if you live in that space long enough and you dig down as to the why, sometimes there can be a worthless feel, that we can feel worthless because of that distance that we have. But the next line, but he appeared. And now the soul felt its worth. The heartbeat of life has returned. Everything has changed and we now have a reason to live. What's interesting is that the worth of our souls is not felt from the monetary value that has been paid for them, but in the redemption coming from Christ's blood as he died on the cross for us. You have value to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no longer worthless, but of great value that he came to pay for your life. The next part I've titled Hope for a New Day, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I can't help but smile as I read these lyrics. Like, I've listened to this song, I don't know, like literally like 100 times this week. And some of you might be like, that sounds horrible. It was beautiful because I was gaining revelation each time I listened to it. And the number of times where I just had moments of worship with God as I was listening to this song this week. And that is my prayer for you today, that as we do this, you don't just have a greater appreciation for a song, but that you long to exalt God with your whole lives, that you long to give praise to the King of Kings, to Jesus Christ this season, that it transforms the way that you think about Christmas because of the revelation of his love for you. That is my prayer, is that you have revelation today. Dan, you prayed it this morning, that you have revelation today of his great love, God's great love for you in Jesus Christ. It says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Now, this is one of my favorite lines in the song here, a thrill of hope. In that moment on that holy night, hope was given for mankind. I want to read Romans 15:13. It says, I pray that God, Paul's saying, I pray that God, the source of hope, who's the source of hope? God, will fill you completely with joy and with peace because you trust in him. Then what will happen? Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we find our hope in God, that the overflow of that would be out and that others would see that, that hope that we have. There's a sign on the front fence of our property that says this. It asks the question, need hope? Find God. That's it. As a follower of Jesus, we can experience the thrill of hope when we consider the future that awaits us because of the hope given to us on that night, that holy night. There's something about a new day. There's something about a fresh start. Is anyone here a morning person? Is anyone, they really enjoy the morning? One, two. There's a few people. Is anyone like, give me anything but the morning? Is anyone on that side of things? Yeah, yeah. There's a few. They just couldn't be bothered putting up their hand. That's the nature of, you know. Too early to put up my hand. There are some people that the morning is a beautiful thing, and you would appreciate a sunrise being a morning person. You would appreciate what a morning brings to you. There's a freshness that comes with a morning, and I believe it's a gift from God that He's given us the sunrise, that as we see that, and why is it fresh in the morning? Because God has created it to be that way. The fresh air that you breathe in a morning. And I captured this short clip, which I want to show you in a second. But there's something about that breath of the morning, that when you wake up and you see the sunrise or whatever, the freshness in the morning, that we can take a fresh breath because today is a new day. Today is a fresh start that God has given us every single day to go, yes, yesterday was yesterday, but today I have an opportunity to glorify you again. I have an opportunity to lay myself down before you again, Lord God, that you might have your way, that I might see you afresh this day. It is a beautiful gift every single day. And I captured this video, you can pop it up, of this sunrise on my trip with Pastor Graham to Uganda. And we were driving through one of the game parks, 6:45 in the morning, and the sun just popped up over the clouds, and it was just one of those moments. There's a little animal. I was going to say gazelle. It ain't a gazelle. What is it, Will? I don't know. It's the thing with the antelope. Antelope. Who said that? Yeah, it's an antelope in the corner. And it was one of those moments, honestly, as we were driving, that you saw the sunrise, and it was one of those, wow. Wow, God, look at your creation. And I think that we need to, you can turn that off, guys, if you want. I think that we need to, I mean, there's another one in this picture as well. We need to better open our eyes to each day, to the gifts that God gives us. That fresh start, that new morning, that breath that we can have. A reminder each day, built in, baked in to the day. That the sun rises, that the Son of God was born, that He died and indeed rose again. There is hope for our future because of what God has done in the past. And then we get to the response at the end of verse 1. The response says, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. I want to read you the response from the shepherds when they heard those angel voices in Luke 2. 8 to 11. And it says, in the same region, meaning the region where Jesus was born, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I imagine, you know, the falling on the knees, it's almost out of fear. But then there's that falling on the knees before our Lord Jesus as well. And I'll tell you, like, I sing this lyric a little bit differently when I sing it, if I'm honest. I sing this lyric, and though we say fall on our knees, it's not a common thing for people to do that in public worship services, here anyway, other places maybe, or even at home, sometimes at home, yes, but the falling on my knees, when I sing that, I see it as singing it from my heart. It's my heart's attitude is to fall on my knees before the King of Kings. What is our response when the King comes? Our response is to fall on our knees, and to Jesus is to worship. And that's the response that is required of us as we have that revelation, is fall on your knees. Hear the angel voice, oh, night divine, oh, when Christ was born, we worship you as we fall on our knees. Verse 2, let's move on. This verse is one that I had not read before, and you may not have seen it either. We don't sing it very often, but I want to touch on it as it has some great value to us. The first part I've titled Faith for Worship. It says, led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by His cradle we stand. It is by faith alone that we come to know Jesus. We must believe that he is the Savior of the world. And this believing involves something more than just believing he exists. There are many that would look through the history books and say, yes, I actually believe that Jesus Christ was a man, that he lived here on earth. Many atheists would even believe that Jesus existed. But the belief that is required here, that faith, is not to believe that Jesus existed, but to believe that he is the Son of God, that he is God's own Son, the Savior of the world. This is the faith that pleases God. Then the writer gives us this beautiful picture again of the response of the believer, that as we stand by the cradle, hearts are glowing as they are coming alive. That is what happens when we encounter Jesus. Our hearts come alive. Alive to what? Alive to worship and adore him. If you've ever wondered about your purpose here on earth, why did God create you? God created us for worship. For worship. As we worship Jesus, we find all of our fulfillment in him. It has been such a blessing to look at this song this week. Next it says, so led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. And we see this contrast, deliberately so. The King of Kings laid in a lowly manger, accessible to all. And you know, Liam said it in the Nativity last week, a great line. He said, as Herod, he said, those dirty sheep people? You mean those dirty sheep people? And that's what it was, the shepherd. It was one of those things in the class system that was right down there. And yet Jesus invites them, God invites them as one of the first to visit the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is these people. Jesus is king for all. It's not just the elite. It's not just the ones who have it all together, but Jesus, the King of all. And it goes on and says, in our trials, born to be our what? Our friend. Born to be our friend. And I want to ask you a question today. As we focus on Jesus coming to earth as a man, why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus come to earth? That's a question that sometimes, you know, you might have 10 or 12 different right answers, sure. But there's one I'm going to look at today. Why did Jesus come to earth? I've been in this church for a long time, and there's been a lot of people that have come through the platform here and have spoken, and sometimes there have been preachers that we don't know so much, or sometimes there's been others that come and they have words for people. And sometimes they would come and they would walk down the stairs and they would walk into the congregation. Sorry, guys, I didn't give you a heads up on what I'm doing here. Just go to the white or whatever you need to do. And they would walk down, and so I would be sitting somewhere around here, and as they would walk down and as I would get closer to people, they would give some words and say, I really feel God has a word for you. I really feel God has a word for you over here today. And the closer they got to me, they were all good, but the closer they got to me, the more my heart would start beating. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Is that going on? You might be feeling that right now. Like, the closer I walk towards you. But for me, it was the fact that I thought that these people, as they came down, that they were given a word of knowledge from God, that they knew all of my life, and they knew all of the sin, and they knew all of the things that I was getting wrong as they would get closer to me. And I had this fear that they would call it out for me in front of everyone. They'd say something like, oh, you, sir, I know you're dealing with this and you're going through that and you're playing around with that and you need to be free from that in front of everyone. And I'd have this fear as my heart would beat because of that. And I fear that sometimes that people can have that attitude towards Jesus. That they feel that the closer they get to Jesus, the more that he is going to kind of call out all of that sin. And the worse you are going to feel because of the closer you get to Jesus. But that is not the truth. And though your heart might be beating because I'm walking even closer to you right now, that's not the way it works with Jesus. Now, the truth is that yes, Jesus wants to set you free and wants you to be free from sin. Absolutely. That is part of the deal. We need to go down through that process. But the main thing, why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus come? Jeremy Odd, good to see you, mate. Good to see you. Hello, Miss Nikki. Good to see you too. Danny Wilson. Hey, Leah, how you going? Good? Good to see you. Hello, Crystal. Good to see you. You know what Jesus came for? Jesus came for relationship. And when he comes towards you, it is with that gentleness. It is with that kindness of heart. Jesus comes to earth. God sends his Son, the outworking of which is to set us free from sin. The outworking of which is also that you might again have relationship, intimate relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. Jesus comes to earth for relationship with us. And so for you today, I want you to see this picture. And maybe this makes a difference in the way that you think about your closeness to Jesus. Jesus Christ is not one that we need to run from. He is one that we need to run to. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. In all of our trials, born to be our friend. It goes on, it says, he knows our need, till our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. Jesus knows our trials, he knows our needs, he knows our weaknesses, and he loves us. Verse 3, we know. And the title of this, the start of this, I've said, love one another. Truly he taught us to love one another. For his law is love and his gospel is peace. And you can see as we make our way through this song, we've started with this awareness of this baby, of this night, and we're thinking of it that way. But then as we go through to verse 3, there is a response that is required of us that is spoken about in this song. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Right here is one of the central teachings of Jesus, John 13, 34 to 35. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another, this is such a key part. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's pretty strong, isn't it? He's talking about believers here. Our love for one another will prove to the world that we are his disciples. I know some people are hard to love, but you know what? So are you. So are you. Husbands and wives, do not nudge each other right now. Craig, that was too loud a laugh, buddy. Don't go doing that because you're hard to love as well. Yet Jesus loves you more than anyone else that he came and gave his life for you. Like, I know I just spit that out and we can spit that truth out, but man, that is life-changing. It is game-changing. I want to give you a testimony along this from this week. And last year, from a guy from our... Where's Nick Mann? Are you here? Nick, are you here today? Nick, not here today. Nick Mann, a gentleman from our church, had an idea a few years ago to provide a Christmas dinner, to do a Christmas dinner for some homeless and some needy in our community. And last year, Nick came alongside Nick and they did it together and put on a Christmas lunch for a bunch of people here at the stadium. And it was a good event. But Nick this year had an idea to almost take that a step further and actually take the lunch out to them who needed it. And so this week on Wednesday, some members of our church here came and they cooked home-cooked Christmas lunch, all the trimmings here, and then transported it down and served it to some of the homeless out in Yarra Junction where we have a connection with Siri out there. And let me tell you about it. There was about 30 members of the community that came at that time and enjoyed this meal, and then there was many more that came afterwards for two reasons. Either they didn't feel comfortable or didn't feel, I'm using my words, feel worthy to actually come and actually experience that meal, and others that simply couldn't make it. But they took away all of the rest of the food after that point. Many, many were fed. And this was part, I'm going to read a part of an email that Nick received from the lady who she is working with at Yarra Junction. And these are some of the testimonies that the lady gave. And I want you to hear this. A homeless lady that is trying to get her life back on track after addiction has relocated to the area and is currently living at the river in Warburton. and was so thankful for the opportunity of a hot meal and some community connection. After attending the lunch, she came to the hub that they have set up there and has been connected with housing information and further assistance along with some warm clothing. Good step. Another couple that live in the local area, Bushland, attended yesterday. They do not have permanent housing and are homeless. They said that it was their first hot meal in over 12 months. And they also made a connection with an older couple from Warburton and said how nice it was to attend an event that they had not been judged or shunned. Then, of course, there is the family, they know about that, that we did takeaway meals for on the night. And these guys are just the most beautiful family. Mum and Dad have devoted their entire life to caring for their two disabled boys and beautiful daughter. They have been doing it tough, but like many, have been scared to ask for help, and they could not have been more thankful. She says, I could keep going as I made a real effort to speak with everyone that attended, but just thought the above might be nice for you to share with everyone. We at Siri and I personally cannot thank you enough for all of your love, your kindness, and of your support of our community. LMC have made a huge difference to a lot of our community members, and through your kindness and generosity, you really have changed lives. Can we thank the team that went on Wednesday and the difference they're making? What a joy it is to be a part of that. And we thank God for the opportunity that he gives us. And for Nick, as she oversees Be The Love, the community outreach that we have here at church, we continue to ask God for opportunity. But there's only so much you can do from Nick's organization. If God ever prompts your heart, church, to assist in this way, can I encourage you to do that? And as I was pondering on this work, talk to Nick if you've got a passion for it. As I was pondering this Christmas season and looking at joy to the world, we acknowledge that we sing a song not just about Christ's first coming, but about his second coming. And this passage is Jesus speaking that I'm going to read about his second coming. And I don't have it on the screen. It's Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And I just want to read it for you. And if you're like me, you sometimes need to close your eyes to concentrate. And so if you need to do that while I read this. And Jesus says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these brothers and of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. It's a confronting passage. And Jesus doesn't really mince words when he gives us that. I want to make sure today that you don't see this passage backwards. Because the focus here is not the fact that if you don't help the homeless or the needy, that you will be going into hell. That is not the focus here. And if you do, then you'll face eternal life. We know that the Bible says there is only one way to heaven. That is through faith in Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Not by works, but by faith. One could spend their whole life helping the poor and needy. A good work, however, without Christ, is not saved from sin nor death. But the point Jesus is making is that when it comes to judgment day, the works actually do matter because they are the evidence that you are his sheep. These good works come because these people are faithfully living for Jesus. The whole reason that Be the Love exists for us as a church is that our community will come to know the life-giving, life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. It is not just something that we do because it makes us feel good that we're doing something good. It is so that they know the life-giving, life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. And as Nick goes and as she attends these things and as she prays and as she shares the name of Jesus, church, we are here to make a difference in our community for his name, for his sake. Because though food is something to keep us alive for tomorrow, for the next day, it is his grace and it is his spirit in us that keeps us alive into eternity. Eternity is at stake. Let us take seriously the call of Jesus to make a difference in our community. For you, it might start with your neighbor who is in need. For you, it might start with inquiring about an opportunity to go and be a blessing to one another. For this reason, we don't want to step back from the opportunities that God gives us, but to step towards them with joy and with excitement. And even when the work is hard and we've got too many things to do, we say, yes, Lord, because you are going to strengthen us. You are going to give us what we need in this moment to be able to serve your people. Have your way. Back to the song, it says, his law is love and his gospel is peace. And this peace is important part of this because there's two aspects of peace that we hear about. There's peace, the peace of God, and there's peace with God. Both come from knowing Christ, but it's the peace of God, peace with God that we're talking about here. Can we have the team up? We're going to sing a holy night at the end of this and respond with worship to the King of Kings today. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And we sing this, that his law is love and his gospel is peace. We're loving others because we are now at peace with God. That is the motivation. That is the foundation for all of what is done. It's because we are now at peace with God. And the next part says, set free, I've titled it. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. You know, the truth about chains breaking is not only true in a physical sense, like this song talks about, but in all other types of bondage as well. All oppression shall cease. Anxiety, depression, addiction, disease, all oppression shall cease. Chains shall he break. We're told throughout the Bible that Christ the Messiah would come to set the captives free. Isaiah 52:2, it prophesies, rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And then towards the new covenant, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. You are free indeed. Would you stand with me as I finish off reading the rest of this song? And I'm not going to exposit anything in these next few lyrics because they are just a worship moment for us. It is our response here. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful, grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Why? The next words, because Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever, his power and his glory evermore proclaim. I really struggled to know how to wrap this up today, apart from us just worshiping. And so just turn your affection, turn your attention towards him right now as we sing this song. And for those who are just like, man, I just can't wait to sing this song, I'm going to worship right now, I'm joining you in that. But for those who may struggle and maybe you continue to struggle with singing these Christmas songs, see this as a moment of worship, that you get to magnify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who came as a child on that day circled by God since the beginning of time. Our Savior, our dear Savior, born in a little town of Bethlehem, who came and who lived a life free of sin, who lived obedient to the Father in all ways, who had eyes of love for the people in front of him and for us today, that he came, that he died, and that he rose again so that we might have life. And Jesus, we thank you so much for your love for each one of us. We thank you for the peace that that brings us. Even in the hecticness of the Christmas season, we have peace with God because of Jesus, what you have done. And so, Lord, right now we want to respond by giving you glory, by praising your holy name, for you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy of it all. Jesus, be exalted in our hearts, be exalted in this church. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Starting my message with the classic verse, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that I live in eternity with him in heaven." Illustration I've seen in a couple of different sermons, you may have seen it as well, is there's a rope as wide as this room. And it stretches out, this big rope, and on the rope there's a little string. And the string represents us and our entire life here on earth. And the rope represents everything that was before us and eternity after us. And while this illustration shows us how small we are in perspective of God's his omnipotence and his all-knowing, that he sees all of this at once, but it shows how much he loves us, that we are this small string in the span of this entire rope, but he loves us individually. When I was about 14, I used to love doing this thing called parkour. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's basically cool gymnastics is what I'd call it. And I used to love it. You'd learn how to do flips and rolls and learn these jumps. And I used to practice it pretty much every week at this this gym I'd go to. And there was foam boxes and I loved it. And about this time, I went to an event that my dad was speaking at. And because he was speaking there, we got there pretty early, and because we were there early, he was talking to his friends before the event started, and me being 14, I was bored of his conversations that he had, so I saw the stage, not unlike this stage, where it has the sharp metal edge along the edge of the stage, and I saw it and I decided I'd practice my box jumps onto the stage. So I walked up, I was very confident that I could do this. I thought about all of the times I practiced, and I got there, got right next to the stage, and I got ready to jump. I did this jump, and I almost made it. My feet were very close to the edge, but then I fell. I fell short of the stage, and I fell pretty badly, actually. I scraped up my legs completely, and I've actually got dents in my shin bones still from when I landed on this stage. And in Romans 3:23, it says that for all of sin, and fall short of the glory of God. But God, in his grace, makes us free through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. No matter how good of a year you've had, no matter the success you've had in your family, or in your career, or even in your faith, maybe you helped set up the Christmas lights down there, or you sang at the carols last week, no matter how confident I was in my parkour skills, I fell short of the stage. Just like we all fall short of God's glory because of our sin. Although we fall short of God's glory because of our sin, God's love does not fall short of us. And linking back to my first verse, John 3:16, we can witness God's unfailing love where he says, through his love, he sent down Jesus Christ, saved our sins so that we can spend eternity with him. As we hold these elements in front of us, the juice that represents Jesus' blood that was poured out for us on the cross, and the bread that represents his body that was broken in place of us, I want us to remember God's unfailing love, and as we just take a moment to dwell on that love. Take the elements as you will. Thank you for your love. I thank you for that your love is unfailing. And I thank you that we can witness your love. through you sending down Jesus Christ. And as we're in this time of Christmas time, I pray that we can all remember the reason why Jesus was sent down, why Jesus was born on Christmas, was so that he could die for our sins and take our place.